I hope it's all right with you. I want to go back to a Christmas tradition of mine that I shared with you a couple weeks ago. I want to flesh that out a little bit. Is that okay? Y'all out there? Okay. A couple sermons ago, 2 weeks ago, I told you about one of my family Christmas traditions. It's simply called a Christmas Eve gift. It's in its third generation now. And it's simply this, we practiced it, passed it on to our kids as well. Here's how it worked when I was growing up. After the Christmas Eve meal was finished, the coffee consumed, the dessert plates put away, we were sitting in the dining room. In the dining room, Tim, was as far as me to you, and I could see the Christmas tree there with neatly wrapped presents underneath it. You could walk that short distance in 3 or 4 steps. You may remember telling you a couple of weeks ago that Mom supposedly knew what was in every single gift under the tree. Supposedly. She had a list. Now, I want to go ahead and say this. 1 year I found her list. It was not the same. So I never looked for it again. Mom couldn't find her list this particular year, and so she just reached for 3 presents. You may remember me telling you this. 1 for my brother, and 1 for my sister, and 1 for me. I don't think she did it on purpose that year, but I kind of wonder about future years. It wasn't the gift, but it was what would help make the gift work. Like 1 year, I opened AA batteries. 1 year, and this is a foreign concept, film. Film. Y'all remember film? Again, I think 1 year it was a mistake. Then I think it was intentional. We've passed that on to our girls, and it's ironic how every year when they open up their Christmas Eve gift, it's pajamas. Amazing. Pajamas, matching pajamas that would make Christmas Eve even more glorious for the pictures. Christmas and gift giving have been associated for as long as anyone can remember, since the wise men made their way from the east. Sometimes we receive unusual gifts. I'm sure that most of you have seen the movie The Christmas Story, right? I mean, if you haven't, just turn on WTBS on Christmas Day and watch it and watch it and watch it and watch it and watch it. You remember Ralphie receives a very unique gift from his Aunt Clara, a bunny costume, and his mom says, "Go and try it on." He doesn't look happy in this picture, does he? No. Sometimes we open presents, we smile, we say thank you, and then we think, what were you thinking by giving me that? Christmas and gift giving, they go hand in hand. Sometime back, Susie and I decided that we would buy our own Christmas gifts. I'm not good at gift giving, right? It's just not something I'm good at. That way we get what we want. The other day in our staff meeting, I like to ask a question to get us started. Sometimes they like it, sometimes they don't when I ask the question. The question this week was, what is the most memorable Christmas gift you ever got? And as they went around, all of them said, that's really hard. They couldn't remember the gift as much as they could remember a particular Christmas. Isn't that important? Isn't that significant? And getting ready for today, I read again a chapter in Max Lucado's book, Because of Bethlehem. You may have read that book. I'm using some of his ideas for our sermon today. In a chapter, he writes a letter to his wife and to any woman who buys a present for a man with this advice. He says, as you look for potential gifts for us, ask these questions. Does it swing, bounce, shuffle, cast, roll? Does it have a trigger or a grip? Does it consume oil or gasoline or dog food? Does it have a big screen and a remote control? If it does, get it for us. Even if we already have one, it's no time to be practical. He writes, if you will give us what we want, we will do the same for you. I thought you might enjoy that. Yes, you see, Christmas and giving go hand in hand. Think about the gifts that Jesus received through Mary. Mary said yes to the invitation to be his earthly mother. Joseph gave Jesus the family line of David. The innkeeper didn't have room, but found a place for the Holy Family to reside and to be as Jesus was born. The wise men brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But what about those shepherds and what about those angels? They brought a gift too, and I want us to think about that this morning. As I hope you know, we're in a series of sermons we're calling A Simple Christmas. I'll ask you again, how are you doing with that? Last week was crazy for me. This one maybe not so much. I encourage you to embrace the season, to sit by a fire, to watch a Christmas movie, to go see lights, spend time with family. Here's one for me. Come to church, right? We looked at Zechariah's story in the first of our sermons. I want to recap them for you. How Zechariah was filled with doubt and filled with fear and thought life had passed him by when the angel said, no, Mary, your Elizabeth, your wife, who's older in age, is about to have a baby. And then we last week looked at Joseph and his story. Joseph had a dilemma. Mary was pregnant, and the excuses or the explanation seemed a little far-fetched. And what we learned last week is from Joseph's story is simply this. Ask God for every major decision in your life and stand by those who God stands beside. Amen? Today, I want us to look at the story of the angels and the shepherds. And I want to see something that I haven't really noticed too much before. They had a gift for Jesus on the night he was born. It was a gift of worship. The angels appear, and the Bible says this, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. So the angels worshiped, right? And then the shepherds did with the last verse of our lesson today. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen as it had been told to them. Worship, you might say, is their gift. Are y'all with me today? I love to worship. I love to worship. I believe it is in my DNA. Pastor Tom, you may feel like I do. I may not know what I'm doing on Monday through Saturday, but on Sunday, I know what I'm doing. I'm ready. I'm prepared for it. I get to stand up and speak for God. I love Sunday morning worship. I know worship can happen in all kinds of places and all kinds of times. We live in a land here where you have mountains and water. And I know you can worship on the mountain. And I know you can worship on the water and among the hills. And I know you can worship alone. But to borrow a line from our sermon series just completed, we're better together when we worship together. I lead worship about 48 Sundays a year. I did the math. That's 96 Sundays a year. That's a lot of worship, isn't it? I did the math for my time in Springdale. They worship 3 times every Sunday. That's 144 times a year. I love it. That's That's just Sunday morning worship. I love it. I love worship. I'll tell you, even when I'm on vacation, I don't seek a pew, but I seek a service, and I'll watch it. When I miss worship, I miss worship. Are y'all with me today? Yeah. When I became a district superintendent several years ago, on my first weekend, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who used to be a district superintendent. He says, "I'm about to tell you a secret that every layperson in Arkansas, United Methodist layperson in Arkansas, already knows." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "You don't have to go to worship every Sunday." I said, "What?" I said, "Phil, you were my district superintendent. You were in church all the time." He said, "Not every Sunday." About a year later, COVID happened. And I longed to sit in a chair or be in front of people like this. I longed for that. It was so hard. I love the gathering time before the announcements begin. You know, the hugs and the howdies and the handshakes and how about those hogs and that sort of thing. I love the praise songs that we have in this service, the hymns that we have in the other service. I love the offering. I love the children's moments because really you never know what a kid's going to say, right? I love all that. I love communion. I love tasting forgiveness all the way down to my soul. We worship in troubling times. We worship at funerals. We worship when we're struggling mightily, knowing that someone in the room probably is struggling with the same thing that we are. Some of us look like angels. Y'all out there? Some of us sing like angels. Some of us look more like shepherds, right? Can we not offer Jesus the gift of worship? We worship in joyous times. Baptisms occur, wedding vows are shared, children sing, bells ring, ministries are celebrated, sermons are shared. I love the picture that we have of the early church in Acts chapter 2. We've talked about that scripture several times already in my time with you. How they prayed and they praised together. I love that picture of the church. Now, are y'all with me? Here's the thing about worship. We are made to worship. Tim and Christy and Kevin, Chris Tomlin sings about that in a song that sang several years ago, "We Are Made to Worship." So we will worship something. We will worship someone. When we worship someone, we look to be like them, to emulate them, to be like them when we grow up. Maybe we don't use the word worship, but that's the idea. Some of us worship teams. Some of you worship Cardinals. I prefer Braves. Some call the Hogs. In my house, now we growl for the Bears, who lost yesterday. I want to ask you this. Who or what is receiving your worship these days? It ought to be Jesus. I think the angels are on to something. One of them appears in the field to the shepherds. Suddenly the others are joining in the heavenly chorus. Glory to God in the highest. When they go back into the heavens, the shepherds head over to Bethlehem to see what the angels have said has happened, and they worship too, right? How about us? How about us? Will you this year go to the manger scene? Will you kneel down? Pretend you're a sheep or a shepherd? For you smart people here today, maybe a wise person, wise man, and look in his face and worship him. The idea behind a simple Christmas is that Jesus simply can change our life. And the most simple gift you can give him this year on Christmas Eve or any other day is to worship him.